To me, first and foremost, what it does is you can focus on getting that spend under management and doing whatever makes sense for the federal government, whatever is important to the federal government and the taxpayers. It's providing those, so those services or products, not so much price or value, but you know, small business participation, meeting sustainability goals, whatever is important to government is best done strategically then and then one at a time. But the real centerpiece of this is we right now in the federal government don't have one place for all members of the acquisition workforce to go to learn, share, and collaborate. So we're creating that, right? So that's what that's about. And I think coming out of that will be good news for the agencies and the taxpayers, that we're going to better manage that spend toward whatever is important to the federal government.
A key piece of this change is the acquisition hallways. You mentioned it briefly. There's now 17 of them. Talk a little bit about those 17, obviously not all 17, but some of the ones that seem to be further along. And then where's this going? What should agencies expect, you know, by the end of the year, for instance?
OMB has mapped all the federal procurement spending into, I think it's actually about 20 of these, but a number of them are unique to the Defense Department and military needs. So the 10 that OFPP has stood up, we're following their lead. When I say 17, they all map to the 10. I can't tell you how many subcategories we may end up with. It's probably going to be much more than 17. Some of the hallways, for example, are, you know, IT hardware or IT software, actually just IT, and you're immediately going to get to, you know, hardware, software, and services, and even those groupings are large. So the idea of the subgroupings is where there's a manageable group of PSCs that you can develop some type of strategies on and have an area in the hallway for folks to find unique guidance and samples and templates, etc. So we got 17 to get started and more from that. And what we're really focused now with the 17 is, you know, what's the measure of success? So we'll work with OMB, and I think you'd probably want to posit a basic baseline of, you know, how many contracts, how many transactions, percent small business, sustainable, all the things that are kind of important to government, and then undertake you know, strategies that improve against that baseline over time. OFPP's put out a definition, as you know, of spend under management. So as you know, the contracts are scored from ones to twos to threes, OFPP has determined that that's in the government's interest and thereby the taxpayer's interest. So we want to measure against that baseline. Improve over time.
Another piece of this is the multiple award schedules, the modernization of that. We've talked about, for instance, in the past, making e-offers, e-modify much easier to do it more quickly, to happen maybe even automatically. You're adding some new tools. Talk about some of the new tools that maybe agencies and vendors should expect looking forward over the next, you know, year or so.
Well, the multiple award schedule is a terrific program. It's about 60 years old, so there's a lot of history to it, a lot of stakeholders, but last year there's $35 billion worth of business for the multiple award schedules. That's a big procurement program, probably one of the biggest on the planet. So we reached out in a formal survey to get feedback from our customers about the multiple award schedule, and the feedback I got is they use it because it's fast, and we could demonstrate it's up to 50% faster than open market in terms of elapsed days. I appreciate contracting officers do many things at the same time, but just in terms of elapsed days, and elapsed days is a big deal. Speed's a big deal. We also get feedback that contracting officers use MASC because it helps them comply with the federal acquisition regulations, which is obviously fundamental to the conduct of FAR-based federal procurement. But the feedback we got that room for improvement, as you know, the schedules are priced at, you know, quantity of zero, most favored customer price, and then we call it the vertical pricing. We've gotten feedback, particularly from the Defense Department, who's done a deviation, I think you're aware, requiring their contracting officers to follow what amounts to FAR Part 15 procedures. So the message in all that was for us to focus on pricing. Customers are asking for a focus on pricing. We're providing it. So what we're doing this year is we're on a path, a sprint, if you would, to standardize part numbers, manufacturer part numbers, on the schedule for products. Now, why is that important? And to be able to compare and contrast, we got to get to a standard part number. Increasingly, those part numbers will be called out as USPCA, which is how the industry does it. So now we're working to get those standard part numbers in place, working with our suppliers this year. We're going to have touched all these suppliers with a comparison of prices for those standard part numbers, and we're going to be able to show them the range of pricing for that standard part number, with two desired outcomes this year. For those vendors to understand their competitive position and to invite them to bring their prices more in a competitive posture, and or to point out to us where they have a unique value proposition, whether it's length of warranty, something like that, that we can help make clear. So coming out of that exercise, we'd like to have a more competitive pricing posture at the top of Mass, what I call vertical. In parallel, as you well know, we've entered into rulemaking a transactional data clause at the order level. Now that's still working its way through rulemaking, but what that would do is, if that rule is approved and put in place, we'd have a clause in the Mass contracts at the order level. The vendors would report the actual transactional data at the order level of the volumes, the pricing, the location, the customer, all the demographics that the contracting officer would want to understand when they raise a new order, to have that intelligence to inform what they might do. Their price may be up, down, different, but they'd be informed. I always use the analogy, if you're going to buy a car this weekend, wouldn't you like to know what the last 20 shoppers paid for the identical car that you're about to buy? Now, your price might be different, but you'll be informed with that intelligence. And that intelligence also would help us better support our customers. We can see the patterns and what they're buying, what they're not buying, and in the conditions. And then we like to wrap that in a basic supplier report card, not unlike you see out of the Defense Logistics Agency, to be sure things like subcontracting reports and the other things we care about are being done on these Mass contracts. So that's how we're preparing to improve Mass to ensure it's already fast, FAR compliant, more competitive pricing, inform our customers at the order level with some transactional historical pricing information, and wrap it in a report card.
All right, there's a lot there to cover. So let me back up and start with the deviations of the FAR that DOD and NASA both issued. Is that having an impact on GSA and GSA schedules at all?
Well, I haven't actually quantified it, but I know I worked very closely with Dick Jimmin when he was the director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy, who was here at the conference. He had taken a position with me a while back before he did the deviation that he had a concern that there was price variability for what he would call the same item. And I think he used the example of a stapler, right? And he said that a wide range of pricing, quote unquote, for the same stapler. Well, to understand that, you have to get to a standard part number. We're doing that. Then the next question would be at the schedule level, how wide a variation should we have? We need a wide source of supply. Government's got terrific volumes, geographic issues, right? So when Dick did that, we didn't know at the time, quite frankly, if his contracting officers were negotiating the discounts that FAR Part 8 basically tells them to go seek. There's rules around that, but as a basic comment, I've gone and surveyed the customers, and what we find is in the civilian agencies, about half of the time, they're getting the discounts they shouldn't. Now, you only spend so much time on it. If it's a large order, you really want to compete it and negotiate. If it's one or two, it's a little different story. But my position is contracting officers should always be seeking discounts. And then for DOD, to Dick's point, there's about a third of the time they were getting the discounts. So Dick was right.
At the same time, the fact that these two big agencies deviated, are you seeing any kind of snowball effect or any other agencies coming to you with similar concerns and saying, hey, maybe we should do a deviation too, which could lead down a very tough path that could go into a FAR rulemaking, which would really put GSA, I think, in a tough spot.
Well, NASA too undertook a deviation. My reaction is these are customers. The message I took away from that is the customers are asking that Mass, again, it's been around 60 years, very successful program. They're asking for help on price. So we're standardizing part numbers. We're making the prices more competitive at the schedule level. And then we're introducing a transactional data clause to inform on the orders. I think they'll have a very, very, very powerful pricing position on Mass going forward if the transactional data clause in particular is approved.
And no other agencies, at least, have come to you with a similar concern where they plan to do a deviation? Have you heard anything like that?
I'm not aware of other deviations. I want to get in front of this and meet what the customers are saying. I spend a lot of time with customers. Again, I tell them that Mass is there. Broad source of supply for products and services. A lot of vendors, particularly a lot of small business vendors, that the contracts are in place, so they're pre-positioned so they can go fast, be FAR compliant, but they should compete and negotiate their prices, and I want to help them.